Bruno Mars on High Peak Radio, 25 past 10. Time for our Legal Eagle spot then. We're talking to Leslie Gaskell from Thornycroft Solicitors. And Leslie, you're working at the new Whaley branch as well, aren't you?
I am, yes, which is where I've been for some time already under a different name.
Oh, I see.
We were
right.
Leathams, and then Thornycroft took it over on the 6th of August.
Okay, so it's not been that you've had to set up an absolutely brand new office.
No.
Right. Okay, so we've had a number of questions come through to us. So we'll go through some of these things that people are asking advice about. The first one, it's about a young couple. They've bought a property together. They're not married at the moment, and there's been talk that they perhaps should both do a will. They feel as though they're a bit young to be thinking about that. Do they need to be thinking about that yet?
Yes, they do need to think about that. Okay. One of the things is, what happens if one of them dies? You never know what's around the corner.
No.
Does one of them want their half share of the house to pass to the other, or mm-hmm. do they want it to go to their relatives? There's a lot more to it than just that, but they need to think, are they going to get married? Because if they do, they can make a will, what's called in contemplation of marriage. So they only have to do it once, because a marriage would then invalidate the will and they'd have to make another one.
Okay.
So they need to choose their executors. Do they want to leave anything in particular to anybody? And say the main thing is, what do they want their share of the property? Where do they want it to go? To their partner or somebody else?
I suppose when you're starting out, you're just buying your first property. That sort of thing seems like miles away, doesn't it?
Yeah, but you really don't know what's around the corner.
Okay, so
it's an important thing to do.
It's about being sensible, really.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Our next point is about the other end of the life story, I suppose. Someone who's recently lost a parent, they're waiting for probate to be granted. The obvious question, I suppose, is how long does all of that kind of thing take?
It does vary from case to case, and one of the things that causes the variation is what's the value of the estate and how many assets there are, because you have to get the value of all the assets as at the date of death. Once you've got all that information in, then you can sit down and we do an inheritance act form to show whether or not you have to pay inheritance tax,
right.
The old good old HMRC in there, mm-hmm. And then you apply for the grant of probate. So that in some estates can be done within 3 months. In other estates where there's a lot of value and a lot of assets, it can take 6 months, 12 months. You try to do it as quickly as possible. Then once the grant of probate is in, then you can look at getting all the money in or selling the house. And again, how long does it take to sell a house? Mm. And then once all the money is in, it will be distributed to the beneficiaries.
Okay, so patience is the thing.
Patience is a thing, yes. Yes, but you will be kept informed along the way of what's going on. And if in doubt, okay. Ring the solicitor to find out.
Right. Okay, now someone in the process of buying a property at the moment, and I remember about this. they're being told they need searches doing. I remember when I was buying somewhere, there were things called Cheshire brine searches, which was to do with salt mines and stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah.
What's it all about, that?
Well, you have to check. I mean, most people buying will be buying with a mortgage.
Right.
And as a result of that, the solicitor is acting for the person buying and for the lender, the person who's lending the money.
Okay.
So you are obliged by the lenders to do the searches. And you do, searches do vary depending on the area that you're mm-hmm. in. But for example, you have to do a local authority search, which tells you whether there are any planning issues, any highway issues, any radon, particularly in this area, which is potentially an issue.
Okay.
You then have an enviro search, which tells you, is the land contaminated that you're buying, in which case you wouldn't touch it with a barge pole.
Right.
Whether there are any flood risks, again, radon, and whether or not there are any other things like wind turbines or solar farms nearby.
Okay.
Then usually coal mining search mm-hmm. in this sort of area, and a drainage search, which tells you where all your pipes and drains are and water in and out of your property and whether it's metered or not metered. So there's a lot of useful information in there.
Okay.
That's, you know, you think, oh, searches, what are those? Well, it's giving a lot of information which is useful to you as the buyer and also to satisfy the lender that the property is a good, safe, secure item to be buying that they will lend against.
Okay, right, I understand. Right, we'll get some more questions in a minute or two. We'll get the travel details first.
High Peak Radio travel update.
All right, your name.
It's Taylor Swift at High Peak Radio. We're with Leslie Gaskill of the new Whaley branch of Thornycroft Solicitors for our legal spot for September. Right, our next question is about a chap who's separated from his wife, and he's concerned about whether the reason they've separated will affect how the financial settlement's worked out, and will it affect if he gets to see his children or not.
Generally, the reason for the separation has no effect whatsoever on the financial settlement.
Right.
In very rare cases, if there is really, really bad behaviour, and I mean I'm talking about really bad behaviour, mm-hmm. it will affect, but 99.9% of the time, no, it won't. So okay. the finances go down one track. They're completely different from seeing the children, and it's a child arrangement order now. So seeing, you can call it access, contact, whatever. There are a number of phrases that people use. But so long as the children are not in any moral or physical danger, there's no reason why the father shouldn't see the children, and hopefully wouldn't get an awkward mother who would stop that happening, because that's the main reason in reality okay. why. And parents need to talk to each other.
To work out what's yeah. the best way of, yeah, of yeah. working it.
Big key, parents speak to each other. Yeah. It does help.
Okay. Right. Next, about someone whose parents, they're concerned they're getting a bit older and perhaps possibly having some memory difficulties, and they've heard talk about power of attorney and that kind of thing. Is that going to be helpful in that situation?
Well, it's now called a lasting power of attorney, and there are two. You can have it for finances and for health and welfare.
Okay.
So they're two different powers of attorney. The key to that is that the parents are not diagnosed as having any form of dementia or Alzheimer's, mm-hmm. because what that means, they've lost capacity. You have to have the mental capacity to be able to make one of them.
And, I see.
And as everybody gets older, their memories do fade a bit. That doesn't mean you've got dementia or Alzheimer's.
Right.
But if things are getting a bit forgetful, get yourself a power of attorney, lasting power of attorney, because then the family really are able to help if things do go downhill and they are diagnosed at some stage with dementia or Alzheimer's.
Because if you leave it too late, then you can't do it.
You can't do a lasting power of attorney. You can apply for something else through the Court of Protection, but it's very expensive and very lengthy. Whereas doing a lasting power of attorney is fairly quick, reasonably inexpensive, but it's a bit like taking out an insurance policy.
Okay.
That would be a good way to describe it. You're there, you bank it, you've got it if you need it.
Okay,
but you only use it when you have to use it.
Right, so you're not necessarily going to need it, but it's there just in case.
It's there just in case, so definitely, definitely look at doing lasting powers of attorney as you're getting older.
Right, okay. What about whether business assets are included in a divorce settlement? Because this is somebody who's recently split from his wife and is a partner in a family-run business. So that complicates things a bit, does it?
It doesn't complicate things. It perhaps complicates things from the other partner in the business.
Okay.
But the business would have to be valued. You have to see what the value of the asset is, because if you're married, everything you've got is in the pot mm-hmm. to be looked at. How it's dished out ultimately is a different issue, but everything you own, business-wise, savings-wise, anything else, is in the pot and it's up there for division.
Okay. And our final question, again, this is about divorce. What effect does it have if you move out of the family home before you're divorced?
From a financial point of view, in theory, it should make no difference whatsoever. However, it's generally the case that if both parties are still in the house, although it might make things a little more pressurised, mm-hmm. it usually concentrates everybody's minds on coming to a financial settlement. Because once one moves out, you tend to find that the one that stays in might start to drag the heels, be a bit more dilatory about the financial settlement. So then you find the one that's out is saying, why is this dragging on so long? And it can be the one that's in the house basically playing the trump card, saying I'm in the house. So if possible, I would usually recommend stay in the house unless things are really, really so bad that you can't tolerate it, or if you've got children and it's becoming unbearable from their point of view. The other point, of course, is that not everybody can afford to move out and rent somewhere else or have somewhere to go to. So it is a case-by-case situation, but generally get advice before you move out.
Okay. Leslie, thanks for coming to talk to us. Now, if anyone wants any more advice, maybe some of the points we've talked about have set off a little thought in someone's mind, how do we get in touch with you?
You can contact us at our Whaley Bridge office, 01663 733431. We're in the phone book, we're on the internet. We do a half-hour free interview, so if you have any issues that want discussing, we're quite open to you popping in for an appointment. As long as you make an appointment, that's the key thing.
Okay.
But you can pop in and make an appointment, and we'll always be there to help, and I'm always available to give advice.
Okay, thank you. And of course, you could always get in touch with us, and we'll put you in touch as well. All right, thanks, Leslie.
Thank you.
Thank you.